Chemtrails is intended for mature audiences only.
Thanks for tuning in to the Chemtrails podcast, where you get the latest topics within the culture with the uncensored, unscripted facts and opinions from our crew.
Hi, I'm Carice Laguerre with the MyoSpot, the myofunctional therapist, and you are listening to the Chemtrails podcast. I got into this business because of my children. We all wound up doing so many things because of our children, but my four kids had various issues. And as parents, sometimes we don't talk about all these issues, right? Because we feel like it falls back on us. So if somebody says, how's everything? How are your kids? Oh, they're good. They're fine. I wouldn't actually tell them that my son has ADHD and has been having all these behavioral issues in school and that my daughter is sleepwalking. She has night terrors. She's wetting the bed every night and way through to the age of 10, that the little two were always on antibiotics with ear infections and throat infections. And I feel like I'm drowning in issues with these kids. So you don't tell people these things, right? But I happened to start working for a pediatric dentist who was very involved in the intricacies of the airway and breathing and how everything is affecting health. And I fell deep into myofunctional therapy and the way how it impacted my household and my children and their health. I just knew that this is something that many, many, many more people needed to know about and needed the help for. So
welcome, welcome, welcome. You are tuned in to the Chemtrails. I'm your host today, Trader Dre. Joined as always by my brothers AP and Mo Chris. How y'all fellas doing?
What up?
What's good, man? Always surviving, bro. Always surviving.
That's right. That's right. All right. We are joined today by a special guest. It is our pleasure to present to you Miss Carice Laguerre. How you doing today?
I am doing well. Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
We are, well, let me just say, I am ecstatic to have you on. I got a chance to look at your book. I loved it, by the way. So much information in there regarding sleep disorders and getting more out of your sleep. I can't wait to dive in. So we're going to jump right into the takeoff. Carice, if you don't mind, can you tell our audience a little bit about who you are and what you do?
No problem. So I am a registered dental hygienist and a myofunctional therapist. The myofunctional therapy part is the part where most people get lost. You know, it just goes a little bit over their heads. A myofunctional therapist is like a personal trainer, but for just the muscles below the eyes, but above the shoulders. So we work with a lot of the orofacial muscles to help strengthen them, coordinate them. That way you get better breathing, chewing, swallowing, which helps with your overall health, with help with sleep. It helps in so many aspects of life that people would not expect that, you know, the face can be so involved in overall health and wellness. So I do that primarily. I'm also an author. I have a book. Hopefully you guys can check it out. Maybe we'll talk about that a little later. But outside of those two things, I'm just a mother of four and a wife and living in dirty Jersey.
Dirty Jersey.
Dirty Jersey. Jersey. I never heard it called that.
No? You haven't talked to enough New Yorkers.
Okay. I really do think we've only had like one on so far from New York. So.
Yeah.
All right. AP, if you will, sir.
Yeah. So my first question, I know you talk a lot about ADHD and it kind of hits home with me because my youngest brother has ADHD. Well, actually, I got two questions. The second one is kind of just a real quick one, but the first one is the one I'm talking about right now, dealing with ADHD. And I guess I'm speaking for like the black community and like the old school, they'd be like, boy, ain't nothing wrong with you, a girl, ain't nothing wrong with you. You just need to sit down, concentrate or something. You just get your mind right. They don't really look at it as it could be an issue, because that's kind of how I was. I just said my brother was bad. I'm like, man, he's just bad. He needs some whoopings. You know what I'm saying? So I guess my question would be, how do you handle that if you're not educated? How do you approach that group of people that's not educated to know exactly what that is and treat that with the type of seriousness?
So the ADHD is something that is very commonly misdiagnosed. And I think that's something that you lead in that type of conversation with when you have somebody who is not really well-versed or properly educated on the topic of ADHD. So ADHD is actually something that is more of, you know, you have certain symptoms and we're going to tie those symptoms together and we're going to say, okay, so this is all looking like ADHD. It's not something that you have a test for where we draw some blood or, you know, we do a genetic testing, get some saliva, and we could say, yes, you definitively have ADHD. It's more of a symptomatic thing, right? And there's so many issues that can bring about hyperactivity in a child. So many children who just don't have the focus that they would have had 50 years ago, prior to having access to a cell phone and the internet, where you have everything at the touch of a button and you can just move on and you don't have to watch a full video of something. You can just click through all day long. So I would say that the first thing to understand with ADHD is that it's commonly misdiagnosed. The second most important thing to understand is that with ADHD, what happens is a lot of times there's crossovers with sleep issues. So sleep will be one of the biggest factors that will play into how you're able to function during the next day. I mean, every day that you have, that you wake up, is really based on the night of sleep you've had before. Tired adults, when we don't get good sleep and we get restless sleep, you might have been in bed for 8 hours, but you may not have had good quality sleep. So you wake up and you feel real tired and lethargic and you just need coffee. You got to get through the day. Tired kids, like we're talking about ADHD kids, tired kids are hyperactive. Their body is just going, 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 and it cannot slow down. So I would say that the two things I would say to somebody who's really trying to understand it and really just can't grasp that this kid has no control of it is that, one, it's super overly diagnosed. I mean, there's no way to definitively know somebody has ADHD. It's just based off of symptoms. And number two is that I would first check the sleep. I would watch the sleep and make sure that these kids are actually getting proper sleep, because you'll see a shift and a change in your brother. You'll see a big change with a quality night of sleep versus, you know, tossing and turning at night or snoring or restless kicking and a lot of different things that will happen and occur at night that do not lead to quality sleep, where he's actually restoring himself and getting enough hours in REM sleep to have a calm, productive day the next day.
So I'm a little bit confused. I mean, I'm not confused about what you were saying, but so we see it as, all right, a kid get diagnosed with ADHD, right? But yet they can play the video game like it's nothing. So it's some of these games take a level of concentration, like you really have to be engaged with the game. So how does that relate? Like, how can a kid can be ADHD and yet still play the game effectively?
It's all about the right stimulus when it comes to these things. I mean, even as adults, we have things. Sometimes you're at work and you feel just so bogged down and just, I'm just so tired. Like, I can't wait to get out of here. I'm going to go to sleep. And then you get home and you don't really go to sleep. You know, you're up, you're ready. You'll watch the Thursday night football. Like, you're good. You're good to go. It's just that environment. And because of what you were doing, it wasn't the right stimulus to keep your brain engaged and active. So sometimes for children, it's a matter of what they wanted to do and not necessarily the actual issue of the concentration. So that's where I would say it gets a little touchy as to, is it ADHD or are they just not being stimulated appropriately in their learning environment? Is it just a school issue and then your parents aren't seeing it at home? Because that's a possibility as well.
I didn't think about it like that. That makes sense though.
Yeah, that really does kind of break it down, because that gives a perfect example of like what you just said, AP. When you get home, it's like, nah, he just bad. He just need to sit down.
Yeah,
right.
It's not
right.
a problem, but it's, so it really is a question of how this diagnosis is being handed out. All right. So I guess my next question, I guess, is, so let's say you have this diagnosis of ADHD. You've kind of, in your book, you talk significantly about your family and your personal experiences and things of that nature. You kind of alluded to this process of treating your son's ADHD and how you were able to do that without, I guess, is it without medication? Is that how that
worked? Well, eventually when we got to actually addressing the issue, it wound up that he had a lot of sleep issues. So we did have him on medication for some time and the medication did absolutely nothing. And that's because he didn't have a focus or a concentration issue. He had a I'm tired issue, like I need to get some sleep for once in my life issue. So we went for years, and he's 16 now, so we've been off of medication for about 4 years. But he went for years where from kindergarten up until like fifth grade, the teachers kind of were saying things every now and then. You'd get like, okay, I think maybe you should have his doctor check him out. I think maybe the doctor should check. And I think maybe we have a small issue. So they don't really want to say it. And we just kept kind of, you know, pushing it off to the side. Like, okay, no, it's fine. No, he's fine. And then eventually we decided to go and they give that quick diagnosis. That neurologist gave us this short little list of questions. And from the answers, yes, he has ADHD, and then she wanted to put him on medication. We tried to resist that for a while, but we did do the medication, but we saw zero results. So what happened with him is we had his sleep checked and it turned out he had sleep apnea, which is a sleep breathing disorder. And in the work that I do, I'm able to work with him and the way that he's breathing to establish nasal breathing, to get his tongue up and out of his airway so that he wasn't snoring at night, to get him to have more restorative, peaceful sleep. That way he was able to perform better the next day. And it's like night and day, honestly. When they wake up and the kids, you know, are groggy, it's one way. When he wakes up and he's like feeling great, it's a totally different day that he's able to have. So I think that it's important to know what is really the root of the issue.
So it's not about how long they sleep in, it's about the type of sleep they're getting.
Exactly. Yes. You always want to prioritize the quality of the sleep over the quantity.
Cool. Because, you know, some of these kids, like I can go and watch other parents. I'm a parent. We all dads here. And I'll be like, man, my house is never this loud. But I go like to some people, the house is noisy, like dogs, everything is going on. Does that affect the kids' sleep, just having a house that's like too rowdy?
It can. I think you definitely need to have a routine and you need to try to maintain that routine where everybody sort of winds down into the night. So when we get into stage one of sleep, that's really our body starting to wind down. That's when we start to see our, you know, blood pressure go down, we're starting to kind of slowly drift off into sleep, and then it gets a little more into stage two and we're starting to really wind down. So I think it's important, yes, that we do reduce the amount of stimulus that is in the house prior to when it's officially bedtime, because you've got to have your body learn that this is time for sleep if you're going to program your circadian rhythm appropriately.
Wow. You just really hit on something.
She dropping gems.
Yeah, I mean, I have the hardest time getting a rhythm and a routine down for my kids because, you know, it gets to bedtime. And that's when they want to fight sleep so hard. It's like this fight to stay awake. And then I'm seeing that exact same thing you described. When it's morning time, it's like that super groggy, oh, Dad, no. So I just, you're really, really driving home that point on getting a routine down and how beneficial that could probably be for them. So appreciate that.
No problem. I think we don't talk about it enough, especially as kids get older. I think when it's babies and it's toddlers, everybody's talking about it. You got to get your kid on a schedule, get the baby on a schedule, get their toddler on a schedule. But as they get older, and even as adults, like, we need schedules, we need routines. That way we're able to get that circadian rhythm. That way we are able to get appropriate levels of sleep and maximize the quantity and quality appropriately.
All right. Okay, we're going to take a break here. We're going to jump into the cruising altitude, and we're going to transition this from kids to adults. That famous fried egg commercial. You remember the this is your brain, this is your brain on drugs. Only those 80s babies remember that. So you dated yourself a little bit on that one. But you said sleep, the impact not having a good sleep is like your brain is like spinach or something like that. And I was like, what?
So you ever cook spinach? You put a whole lot of spinach. You can put a whole bag of spinach in there, and then you get like this one little ball that you fit in your hand after you done fried all that spinach. Like, what is this? Yeah, so it's kind of like you taking something that is massive and has so much potential, and you just crushing it down to nothing.
I haven't had spinach in a long time.
Man, I just had some yesterday, and I know
you better get on y'all spinach.
Some spinach.
No, I'm talking about like the spinach out of a can, like what Popeye had. I eat raw spinach all the time, but I'm talking about that kind of
frozen. I buy the frozen spinach.
Oh, okay.
And the raw, either or, depending on what I'm doing.
To catch exclusive content from this episode or any of our previous episodes, subscribe to our Patreon at Chemtrails Podcast.
All right. We are back with the cruising altitude. I'm going to jump this one off with the first question. I want to understand, how does poor sleep impact health and productivity, and particularly in adults? Like, for a lot of us, especially a lot of us working class, I want to understand, what does sleep do to impact our ability to perform our jobs and perform them well?
I think that's a great question. Like I said before, the number one thing that poor sleep is going to do in adults is make them lethargic. So when we're tired, that's number one. You're not nearly as effective as you were going to be anyway. You're more lethargic. You're weaker. You're not able to fully process things. Where that really stems from is at night, we are optimized to have our brain drain itself of any of the toxins and all the waste that is floating around up there, because you got a lot of blood and brain fluid, and we have our kidneys filtering the blood, we have our liver that filters things, we have lots of processes in our bodies that it's going to help us to filter out things. Our brain doesn't get to filter out anything unless we're sleeping. And it doesn't filter out anything at all unless we're in REM sleep, which is really important. And REM is REM, rapid eye movement sleep. So that's where you're dreaming, right? So if you find that you're not dreaming at all when you're sleeping, you're probably not getting enough REM. So back to my point, the brain only will drain during that time. That's when we're going to store our short-term memories. That's when we're going to refresh. That's when we're going to have all of our body processes really get in and try to refresh for the next day. So when you don't get quality sleep, that's when you're going to feel the effects of that. You're not going to be as good with remembering things. You're not going to be able to be on point with many tasks because you don't have that freedom and the brain space to process any of that, honestly. So you're not going to be as productive in your job unless you have a job that requires absolutely no thought. And I think 90% of us have a job that require a good chunk of thought. So it's going to affect your productivity immensely if you're unable to really use 100% of what you can with your brain. And you're definitely going to be incredibly tired. So you won't be able to use as much as you can of your body as well.
Cool. I got a question for you, Carice. So my mom had issues sleeping, and she has a CPAP machine. And I know some other people that have CPAP machines to help them sleep. And I'm all about, like, I try to not rely on, like, try to go like the holistic approach. So I try to rely on like stuff from the earth to kind of cure or heal or whatever, versus like going a medical route. So I guess my question for you is, what kind of treatment could help people get off of that so they don't rely on that CPAP machine anymore?
So the CPAP is the standard of care when it comes to sleep apnea. So I don't want to say that there's anything that's a 100% replacement for your CPAP. Right. Continue using a CPAP. When it comes to alternatives to the CPAP, I would say that myofunctional therapy is a fantastic one, because what the CPAP does, and the CPAP is going to stand for continuous positive air pressure. So what it's doing is it's continuously pushing in a flow of air. Why it's doing that is because as you're lying down to sleep, all of those muscles and the soft tissues in the throat are starting to fall back and it will collapse. And that's where you're getting your apnea. Now, the air that's being pushed through there is going to prevent that from collapsing. So with myofunctional therapy, what we're doing is I take and I tone those muscles, as you would remember from, it's below the eyes but above the shoulders. So we're going to work with those muscles and get everything a little bit strengthened. And we're also going to focus on getting better breathing, establishing better breathing through the nose. That way you're able to pump that air on your own. And so you're not going to be as reliant upon the CPAP. Now, is it 100% going to take everybody off of the CPAP? No, but it definitely does help.
Awesome. Hey, so what does that do for snoring then, as far as getting those muscles strengthened up? Does that change? Does that help with that a little bit?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Snoring, really, the sound of snoring is the sound of air meeting resistance as it's going through. So somewhere in the nasal passage or even in the pharynx as you're processing the air, somewhere there, it's meeting resistance. So that's all that snoring is. And so, yes, it definitely helps with that as well.
Yeah. So our listeners probably wondering, when you had mentioned the tongue, how is treating the tongue, like the tongue, because I know tongue helps you speak and stuff, but how you treat the tongue in relates to treating sleep apnea?
So like I said before, when you're sleeping, sometimes things just sort of relax, especially in your pharynx, like the throat. Okay. With the tongue too, that will happen where it falls back into that airway. So you think about it, you're lying back and then your tongue falls back into that space.
It's like it goes limp or something, basically. Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. Cause like, I was just kind of confused because when, like me, I tend to sleep on my stomach. It's hard for me to sleep on my back, but I'm weird like that. So I was thinking maybe I never had issues with the tongue because I'm sleeping on my face, basically, or something. I don't know. So that's the reason why. I hope I wasn't sounding ignorant with that question, but that's the reason why I asked.
No, it makes sense. Sometimes sleep position can help and change that too. They say that sleeping on your side is a little better too, if you have that problem with your tongue falling back. But sometimes sleeping on your side is going to not help. Your tongue will still fall back some too, depending on how you normally hold your tongue when it's at rest.
So So in your book, you mentioned this concept called optimized sleep. Can you kind of help me understand what that means?
So optimizing your sleep is really just making sure that you are getting the most out of every breath. That way you are able to fully and properly oxygenate, because you need all those cells in your body to be as oxygenated as possible in order to do the task that you need them to do, with restoring brain function, with being able to get all the processes of your body just reset for the next day, getting all of those organs running well. We have to have the proper oxygenation for all of the cells to do what they're supposed to do. That way, we're getting the most out of our sleep and able to restore. So you want to optimize the quality of your sleep through your breathing.
Chris, I got another question. I have like four or five dreams a night. Like, and I can remember all of them. I mean, it's kind of weird, because like most people I talk to, they only can remember one. I mean, is that normal? Like having that many dreams? Or it just mean I'm getting a lot of REM sleep?
Yeah, you should be remembering definitely at least one dream. But if you're remembering multiple, that means that you're definitely getting through your REM, and then you're probably like cycling through really well, because you're coming right back into stage one, where you're kind of lightly aroused, and then you fall back in, and then you get back into REM. You remember another dream, and you're back into one, and you're cycling through appropriately.
Inception, baby.
So what does it mean? So what does it mean if you don't remember any dreams? Like, you literally you hit the bed, you're not sure when you fell asleep, but you just remember waking up. That's it.
That's what it means. You're not woke, right?
Right? It brings a whole new meaning to the term woke. I will say that, you know, when you're falling asleep like that and you don't remember even falling asleep, you're probably too tired. You're overly tired when you even got down to go to sleep. So sometimes you wouldn't even wake from your REM, or you wouldn't get that gentle waking up. So does that mean that you're not going through REM? No. But you're probably missing some steps along the way. So you should at least remember one.
That's indicating something to me. Go ahead, Mercury.
No, I was going to ask, how do you treat people that sleepwalk? Because I'm a Navy vet, and it scared me and my wife to death. Scared me more, but I sleptwalk one time, and I already know why. It was because I wasn't getting any sleep. We was working 18-hour days constantly for a whole month on the ship is crazy. And I was just wondering, like, how do you treat those with? Now, I haven't been sleepwalking, but it's mainly because I'm not in the Navy anymore, and I haven't did since then. So how do you treat people that sleepwalk?
You definitely got to improve the quality of the sleep. So you hit the nail on the head when you said that you weren't getting proper sleep anyway. Once you did, you stopped having the sleepwalking episodes. Mm-hmm. And sleepwalking can be very serious and incredibly dangerous. I would say anybody who is sleepwalking and doing it regularly, not just like one occasion or, you know, an isolated event, I would say that they should immediately get a sleep study, because it could be something even greater going on. But I would definitely optimize the sleep. You're going to have to look into how you're breathing and what's going on with the soft tissues. Are you able to get a quality breathing flow going? That way you're able to optimize that sleep.
Hey, Chris, I got one more question for you, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
Since we're talking about sleep, I'm going to get a little woke-ish on you a little bit. Do you, or how would you interpret an out-of-body experience in relations with sleep? Have you heard of that before? Like, had an out of body experience?
Yeah, so I have heard of that before, and that is a particular sleep disorder where you're almost conscious, but you don't have control of your body, right? So it's like sleep paralysis.
Right.
That's definitely a serious sleep disorder. I would say that in that instance, I would immediately refer for a sleep study. Similarly to the sleepwalking, that is more frequent, I would say. And when you're having sleep paralysis, it can be very, very scary. And it's absolutely a very serious one that I don't think myofunctional therapy alone would help with. That's something that's a little bit deeper and can be involved with just neurological.
Or that's... watching 20 hours of Illuminati videos.
Have you done that?
Duh. Oh, yeah. But that was a good question, Abe, because I was thinking out of body experiences would be more like something on a spiritual level or something. Right.
Yeah.
So. I've had that sleep paralysis before, man.
Oh, I have too. That's what I was
saying. It's terrifying. Mm-hmm. It's terrifying because you really do feel like you should not be asleep, but you can feel that your body is not responding to you. So, yeah, that's crazy. So, let me go ahead and we're going to wrap that up for for the cruising altitude. We're going to take a break and we'll be back for the lander.
You study the Nightmare of Elm Street, right? And how it was terrifying the little kids not to go to sleep. And I know you're a therapist, you can't say like a little confidentiality, but have you had any patients that were scared to go to sleep because of a scary dream?
Scared to go. I will say that there are people who have had night terrors, and the night terrors can make you afraid to go back to sleep because it's essentially just being jarred out of your sleep by something that was so terrifying, some nightmare that was so terrifying that it just wakes you up. So that can definitely be in a situation where you will find people who are afraid to even go back to sleep.
See, I can imagine walking into your office and you'd be like, 1, 2, Carice is coming for you.
No.
Trainer Dre, mute his mic, man.
I wish I had the power. He touched on something kind of deep there. She's talking about night terrors, and I'm sitting there like, man, I've heard that that's a thing that
a lot of
soldiers and stuff come back from traumatic experiences, and then they have those, and how impactful that can be on both on their lives. And I thought that was an interesting thing. It also made me remember there was a part in your book. I thought it was fascinating that you said it. All right, we are back, and it is time for the landing. We hate to do it, but as always, every great thing must end. Fellas, y'all got any closing remarks y'all want to make as we wrap this thing up?
Yes, let me start first.
Go ahead, Mo Chris.
Man, Carice, man, if I was in Jersey, I would probably definitely attend one of your therapy sessions. Me personally, I know I have sleep problems. I just don't like to admit them. But definitely having you on the show today actually educated me a lot of things that I did not know or I was immature about or just not caring about. So I want to thank you for and open my eyes. And yeah, just thank you. And like, again, I'm a watch Dr. Sleep. and I'm gonna do all those things.
You are cool.
Rewatch Air on Elm Street too.
Yeah, I'll watch that.
That boy Mo Chris, man. I don't know about him, Trader Dre.
Man, you got me wondering, bro.
Man.
What they putting in that water you selling?
Man, I don't know. But I don't want it. Whatever he's serving, I don't want.
Oh,
well, man. Yeah, I appreciate you, Carice, for coming on our show, man. I'm glad to see people like us, you know, in those kind of fields, because as a parent, it makes me feel more comfortable because I feel like you can relate to what how I was raised and my struggles. And then you could see that, you know, make sure that you take care of my children and diagnose them correctly versus just throwing them medication, getting them medicated, getting them dumbed down in a comatose state or whatever. So I appreciate you for doing that. And yeah, like I said, I learned a lot today. And I actually, with the information I learned from you, I'm going to go call my mom and be like, hey, mom, you know, I talked to this lady, you know, you might need to try this out, or you might need to think about going and check this out. And then for my brother, might, you know, think about doing this, and how much sleep is he actually getting? Because actually, he stays up a lot. It's funny you mention that, because he stays up a lot. He's always on a computer with his buddies playing the games, and he like sleeps during the day, so that's not healthy either. So that's probably just adding to it. So I learned a lot tonight, and I appreciate you for that. I really do. And hopefully we get you back on again, drop some more gems for us.
Yes. Oh, no problem. No problem. I'm happy to help. And if you ever have any questions, just reach out, as I'll help you along in your process and hopefully you get your brother and your mom in a better state.
Right.
And just to remind everybody, I know I've brought this up a couple times. This young lady has a book out. Carice, you want to introduce your book?
Yes, it is called Accomplished: How to Sleep Better, Eliminate Burnout, and Execute Goals. It is available right now on Amazon. And it is such a work of passion for me to just educate as many people as possible. So I am so thankful for you guys that you've had me on here. I appreciate you letting me use your platform to educate others, because it's incredibly important. And I think people talk about sleep, and they talk about sleep on just like a surface type level. Like, yes, sleep is important, but you really don't understand how much it impacts your overall health until you really get into like the nitty gritty. So I appreciate you guys, and everybody should pick up the book.
Absolutely. I think it's a fantastic book. It's a fantastic amount of information in there that will definitely relate to some aspect of your life. I know for me, I was particularly interested in the signs of sleep disorder, and I was amazed at how much of that actually applied to my situation. Carice, where can everybody find you and where can they reach you?
You can find me and more information about myofunctional therapy or my practice at themyospot.com. So that's themyospot .com. Or if you're looking to just learn more and ask me any questions, you could send me themyospot@gmail.com. I'm more than happy to answer questions there too.
Excellent. Excellent. All right, everybody, we want to say thank you for joining us. As always, we'll be back with another one, and we hope you enjoyed. Peace out.
Peace.
Peace.
Hey, Chemtrail listeners, want to leave a message? Just click the link in our show notes to leave a voicemail. And if you come from a simpler times like myself, just call, leave us a voice message at 832-308-0529. And don't forget, all messages can record up to 3 minutes long.
What up, what up? It's your boy AP. Make sure you follow us at Chemtrails Podcast, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Hit us up. Once again, that's Chemtrails Podcast at Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Peace out.
Get your voice heard at www.chemtrails.mn.co. Join the community.
Sharice, are you from the East Coast?
Yes, Jersey.
I could tell. I was about to say Virginia.
About that exit.
I was about to say Virginia, but I wasn't sure.
I didn't think I had an accent, but
well, I could tell you it's from the East Coast.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're talking to a bunch of Texas brothers over there.
Jersey.
Yeah. Joy-Z.
Jersey.
Those are the people.
So you probably a big fan of Wendy Williams then, huh?
I do like Wendy. I gotta say, I haven't watched her show. I loved Wendy when she was on the radio.
Okay. Jersey. What's the food to eat out there? Like, if I went to Jersey, what would you tell me? What would you recommend?
Jersey fries, disco fries. You have to go to a diner.
Disco fries.
Yeah, everybody talks about New York pizza, but if you're really from Jersey, then you know that the pizza in New Jersey is actually better than the ones in New York.
Damn.
Yeah.
So, no Chicago-style pizza.
Hey, man, y'all better calm that, right?
Hey, yeah, hold on, Mo Chris, because that's Chicago-style. Giordano's and Lou Malnati's.
Thank you, AG. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know. Got to ease up on that, Mo Chris. Just saying, man. I've